Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
And gentlemen, let's get ready to be inspired! Introducing in the red corner, American Tennis! And introducing in the blue corner, your host for American Tennis, Mr. Chuck Griese! Ladies and gentlemen, time to get in the game.
And hello once again. This is Coach Chuck Griese, and it's another week of American Tennis. And thanks for tuning in to the UR Tennis Network every Wednesday at noon for the American Tennis program. I wanted to remind you that on the UR Tennis Network on Blog Talk Radio, you can get Lisa Stone's Parenting Aces program on Tuesdays. You can get Jason Haynes' program, The College Connection, where he interviews a college coach each and every week at 2 o'clock Eastern Time, 1 o'clock Central Time on the UR Tennis Network as well. Also, hats off to the We Coach Tennis program. We Coach Tennis becoming one of the most popular tennis mediums around. We Coach Tennis Facebook, We Coach Tennis program, and J.P. Weber, the host of that, absolutely one of the top tennis people out there who keeps you on the cutting edge of what's going on in the tennis world. Over 2,000 coaches on his We Coach Tennis hotline right now. This is the UR Tennis Network. Call in today if you'd like to talk and just talk about tennis. Anything, but our topic today, we're going to be continuing our ongoing talk about the stair steps and the pathway to becoming an excellent player from juniors all the way to the pros. We have a few players busting out and starting to do well here in Charleston, South Carolina. Madison Keys last week making finals. You know, the family circle, we have, I think, 12 young ladies in the top 100 right now. Men are still struggling a little bit. We have a couple things going on, and we will talk about those. But the number is area code 714-583-6853 to talk on the We Coach Tennis program today. We Coach Tennis can be heard every week on your iPhone to UR Tennis Network. That's the letter U, the letter R, the number 10, and the letter S, network. And if you punch that up, you get each and every show that has been on over the past 4 years now. We Coach Tennis is about a year and a half old, but then also the American Tennis Program, we are starting our fourth year almost. Well, about a month here. About another month we'll be going into our fourth year. Man, that's hard to believe. But thank you, Jason Haynes, for setting up the UR Tennis Network and everything that is going on there. I want to tell you, this is Coach Chuck Creasy. Go to chuckcreasy.net, K-R-I-E-S-E, and you can get information about my camps, the books that I have out there, the articles I've written, and you can listen to every week American Tennis Radio program over the past 3 years as we have logged and archived them. And that's the coolest thing about having the Blog Talk Radio now and the way we do our radio programs is that, dang it, you're able to hold on to. Sometimes you like it, sometimes you don't. We can go back and reference all of the issues that come up and we talk about. Our mission here, we always say this, is to stand up and to speak out. Daggone it. I do not know why people cower in this sport. Everybody sort of thinks that the political correctness and politics, if you just stay on the right side of it, it's going to move you along. So people don't say what they really want to say. Boy, you hear a lot of gossip on the sidelines, but people say out front what they want to say. And as long as you address issues and not people, folks, you can say pretty much anything you want to. This is the United States of America. This is not communist Russia. This is not communist China. This is not communist Cuba, we could say now. We could say, but daggone it, this is the United States of America. You have the freedom of speech, address issues, not people, and speak up. If you don't like something, say it. And we can take some action. But that's what we have to have, first of all, is just have the guts to stand up and to form an opinion, either black or white, on something. Don't just stand in the gray area of the middle. You know, be clear about it or just, you know, whether you like it or not, we have to get things on the table. Edmund Burke says that all that it takes for evil to prosper is for good men, good people to do nothing. And, you know, absolutely right. That's what happens. And we need to right the ship. There's some good things happening. Again, I'm going to just give you a little bit of a background. 3 weeks ago, I went down to Florida, and I was able to go to the USTA summit down there. And most of it was about what they're trying to do with some of the younger age groups. And they were talking about getting rid of the rankings for the 12 and unders. And if you do that, it will just be disastrous. And all of us know that. You cannot just make a let's have fun and play together and everybody's a winner atmosphere and ever develop champions. It's not like kids get to 14 or 15 and they say, hey, I'm going to try harder now because it matters. And I played for fun all along. Competing is fun. Do you believe that out there? I mean, don't Americans believe that competing is fun and it's about competing? And I don't care whether it's ping pong or a game of cards or pitching pennies or tennis or football or basketball or rooting for your favorite teams. It's about competing. And that's what makes us a great, great country. And, you know, so it's very disappointing. And the more disappointing things is I think in their good intentions, and I don't want to be Dr. Feelgood here, but in their good intentions, so often USTA goes to these consultant groups or something, these third-party groups. And why do bureaucracies do that? Why do bureaucracies go to third-party, don't really know what's going on in the sport itself groups, try to get decisions made? Third-party people do not have enough skin in the game to really have the pulse beat. And you can do as many studies as you want, and you can have as many theories as you want, but you have to go to the people who are in the trenches. The coaches, the players need to be the ones that are ultimately stating their points of view, and then our bureaucracies need to listen to them. Whether it's the USTA, the ITA, oh, don't get me started on the ITA. I know we're going to get there today Our guest will be coming on here in a few minutes, Coach Randy Blumendahl, and my God, he set up one of the best collegiate systems ever. His work with the MDTA, the Men's Division I Tennis Association, which is not a bureaucracy, it's hands-on right now, and it basically is there to support the coaches. But bureaucracies never usually get a great decision pinpointed and make it work well. Just committees, it's interesting that I heard in Australia, I think Craig Kiley dumped all of the committees and they just started making decisions. Correct me if I'm right on wrong on that, but I that's what I've heard. But bureaucracies do not make things work. Bureaucracies clutter things up. We need leaders out there, and we need to listen to the coaches and to the players who are in the trenches. So anyhow, we're hoping to get Coach Randy Blumendahl here on the line real quickly. I think he might have just checked on him. Coach, if that's you at the area code 828, hang on, and we've got to go to a commercial, and we're going to be right back. This is Coach Chuck Creasy with American Tennis. We're going to have a great show today talking about the pathway to excellence in the USA.
This is Coach J.P. Weber of the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. In my 30 years experience in coaching tennis, I've never seen a better tennis training situation for children than Coach Creasy's Total Tennis Training Camps. Chuck Creasy has coached them and trained them in every arena from juniors to collegiate to professional tennis, and over 15,000 children have improved their games at his summer tennis camps. Find out more at chuckcreasy.net. That's chuckcreasy.net.
And this is Coach Chuck Creasy, and I wanted to remind you about our 2015 Total Tennis Training Camps at the Citadel, Sumter, South Carolina, and Lexington, South Carolina. And listen to this, folks. We're going to Cookeville, Tennessee, early in the month of July as well, the weekend of July 12, 13, and 14. If you'd like to have more information about Total Tennis Training coming to your club or your city, let us know. See me at chuckcreasy.net. That's chuckcreasy.net. To give you some insights on American tennis. This is Coach Chuck Creasy, and I think I've got Coach Blumendahl on the line here. Area code 828. Hello, is this Coach?
Well, Chuck, unfortunately it's not. I'm sorry.
Okay. Whoa, wait a minute. This is the, I know your voice. This is the master. This is Dr. Kernodle, correct?
I wish I was the master, but thanks.
Okay, great. I'd love to get you on there before Randy Blumendahl comes on the line. Are you willing to talk a few minutes today?
Yeah, I wanted to see what you thought about something. I was, found out that Martin Blackman's going to be taking over as head of player development. And, I've met him a few times and followed him, and, you know, I've feel like this is a move upward because he does have a fairly respectable background in actually developing players, as opposed to our, you know, McEnroe, who did not. And I'm hoping that, you know, with his background, he's going to be more open and more flexible, you know, as far as to listening to people from different venues. I've also heard kind of through the grapevine that the upper levels of the administration is looking to do some significant house cleaning and possibly bring in some new people that are, you know, have a fresh outlook on things and are willing to listen to, you know, anybody that has ideas. And I think that's a good thing. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, you and I have talked about and I've mentioned on several occasions is I think it would be really beneficial if they had a nonpartisan advisory committee that was really not beholden to the USTA in any way. And their main job would be to brainstorm and come up with ideas that were the best for the sport of tennis, not what's best for the USTA, but what's actually best for the sport of tennis. There are a number of, you know, subcommittees they could have where, you know, some people would be charged with going around the country and meeting with the people that are really producing and doing well. And I think funding would be an issue too. The USTA's got a lot of money, and I'm not so sure that they have allocated it appropriately. I think the $60 million facility down in Lake Nona could be a real boondoggle, and I think that money could have been better spent having, you know, maybe $23 or $24 million facilities, providing grants to the people that are really doing the good work to help them with, I don't know, setting up tournaments, fees, taking the kids around the country, you know, traveling with them. I mean, there's so many issues that need to be talked about, and I really think this committee would be a great way to do that. What do you think?
Well, Mike Kernodle, and folks, this is one of the best people out there, best minds out there, and you've been in it so long, Mike, for a lot of years. So everything you said has great merit. I had a question back for you, though. What would you do if you were the USTA? I mean, I just went into a little bit of oration about how bureaucracies just cripple themselves, basically. And they, a lot of times, will go to third-party consultants to get their decisions made. And I think it was Tennis Australia just dumped all their committees, and they're just trying to make decisions and go forward. I mean, everything you said makes sense. I mean, yeah, my golly, 100-court complex down at Lake Nona. Now, the thing, how are they going to fill these? You gotta have a lot of people. That means 400 people playing at a time down there. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, more power to them if they get it all filled. But again, bureaucracies just don't make good decisions. They can't. They make half-baked decisions, don't they? And you know, well, go Chuck, ahead and talk another minute. We got another caller on here. Hang on, caller. This is Dr. Kernodle. We'll let him talk a minute.
Well,
go ahead, Mike.
Chuck, you and I have spoken about this on a number of occasions, and Brett Hobman and I talk quite a bit. You know, the people that are really successful, the businesses that are generally successful, don't hide in a little box and not listen to anybody else. The executives that are really successful are the ones that surround themselves with people that are willing to speak up and say, you know, that's a good idea. However, I don't think it's going to work as well as this. And then they back it up with, you know, data. And I think the USGA has become unwieldy. And I think people have been in there too long. And there are a lot of people there that are not willing to accept critique from outside, which has been unfortunate. If you allow people to think critically and outside the box, even necessarily if part of the idea doesn't work, maybe part of the idea will work, but been so rigid and strict and, you know, just not willing to allow for any kind of flexibility, I think they need to completely change their perspective, and I think they need to be a lot more open to what's best for the sport as opposed to what's best for the USTA.
I just got a text here. It said, please ask Dr. Crinola, why are we changing things anyway? The United States has the best system in the world of competition already.
Well,
and I want to talk about Mark Blackman here in a minute. Go ahead, Mike. What would be your answer to the caller there?
I'm not necessarily going to argue with that. The thing is, I mean, if you look at I don't think you can name a single player in the history of tennis that was forced to go through this ROG program and play with green balls all the way through the 12s. Kids develop
at
their own rate.
Come
kids
on, Mike. You know why that was
and
developed?
Be allowed to do that.
Why was that? Come on. Everybody knows why that was developed. That's the elephant in the room. Why was that ROG developed? Okay. Why was it developed, Mike? You want to say it? I'll say it if you want me to.
Go ahead.
Did it create another industry that gave a little bit of the economy boom to tennis? Was it an economy boom to tennis? Or they were hoping to manufacture an economy boom to tennis and sell more product?
I think there was more to it than that. But
okay, what do you think was more to it than that? And say what you want to here, but is there more to it than that?
Well, again, it's just me, but I think one of the things that was happening was that USTA just wasn't producing, or America wasn't producing, the plethora of really good tennis players that they had in the past. But there's a lot of variables involved in that, and I think the powers that be in the upper echelons were really nervous about their jobs, and they were trying to come up with something, that made it look like that they were doing something. I think that had a large.
And it's a long-term project. Most of the time, don't bureaucracies create projects like building a stadium or building new facility, and that sort of engrades their job. It gives them job security because they've got a capital program going. That's just bureaucracy 101 stuff, isn't it? But here's the thing, Mike, too. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, what I was going to say is I think one of the purviews of this committee that I am suggesting is to find out if something works. In other words, if this committee had been an entity at the time of the insertion of the ROG program, it would have been their charge to actually test it, to find out, does this really work? Is it better than what we have, or can we take parts of it and make it better?
Let me jump in there, though. I know the answer for that. They brought, on two presentations I've been to, they said they tried quick start. They tried play and stay. They tried mini tennis, mix, whatever the things. And they said the programs did not catch on. So they sort of, and they admitted they had to force feed it. It's no different force feeding, healthcare and saying, look, we'll understand it once we get into it. And the force feeding, and here's the deal. They said that it wasn't catching on fast enough. And, so here's what they did. They mandated it. And when they mandated it, that was when coaches from United States of America got their backs up. And so here was my answer. I said to two people in the USTA on different occasions, I said, look, that's sort of like in tennis. You're playing a guy, and let's say I'm playing Mike Crinodal. And I hope I could hang with you back in those days, but let's say I lost to you 7-6 in the third first time, then I lost 6-4 in the third, then I lost 7-5 in the third. And the fourth time it got to 5-5 in the third, and I took a line call, and I got over the hump. And then finally I got over the hump against Mike Crinodal. And I said, that's what you guys did. You took a line call. Okay, is that too brutal, Mike, to say that? They took a line call. They should have just stayed with the war of ideas, and they should have just stayed with, listen, folks, this is a good program. A lot of people are recommending it. Use it. You don't have to use it, but use it by choice. Though their coercive leadership and the ITA's coercive leadership is what has gotten my dander up. This is what makes me so upset as a citizen of the United States of America and a coach of the greatest sport invented, Mike. What the guys did.
You got to remember that was a massive systematic change, and that should not be made unless they know for sure that it's going to work. And that's why I'm saying, you know, if you had a group that was in charge of, you know, ideas and testing ideas, they could have spent some time in some of that huge amount of money that they have. I guarantee you there's a number of sports sciences around the country, biomechanists, motor learning specialists that would love to have, you know, taken some grant money and actually done a study, a valid, reliable study to find out whether the ROG program actually was more effective. And then you could institute it, but again, institute it without mandating it.
Yeah, and Mike, you're exactly right, but it gets in here, Mike, another person's texting me. Coach, no name here, but they're saying, ask Mr. Crinola, doesn't this turn the skin and the character of every American be forced into something? And yeah, I mean, we can answer that. It's just, it absolutely does. It absolutely turns your skin. Mike, I didn't have any skin in the game in 10 and under tennis. We all saw the symmetry of the game change in 19, when those rackets came into being, all through the 80s, Mike, we used regular old school racket technique, squared stance, one-handed backhands and things. And then what happened about 1990, people started playing first strike tennis. They figured out how to use the power. Now the game was overloaded, so the ball striking overcame the movement. They changed the rackets, they didn't change the court, they didn't change the ball. So with that, people learned how to move. But then people started saying, hey, if we slow down the balls. And Mike, I've used dead balls out of my basket and kept hoppers around since 1990, realizing that the symmetry of the game had been screwed up. So when these balls came around, I said, hey, a very good teaching tool. This is a good teaching tool. But Mike, my back didn't get up about this until they said, no, you have to use it. And I go, whoa, wait a minute. And that's where they were. That's where they just went over the line. We are not Russia. Why don't people understand that? Stand
but
up.
Chuck,
I don't know how good it is. Yeah, Mike.
It's not just that you have to use it. It's how to use it. I mean, even if you have the softball and you decide to use it, there's definitely a way to use it. You know, if you listen to the neuroscientists and the motor learning people, they'll tell you that every time you change a movement or you change the parameters involved in implementing a movement, you have to develop a new motor program for that particular movement. So, you know, if you stay with those green balls all the time, I'm still not sure that it transitions. If you force them to spend three or four years, I'm not sure that it transitions into the yellow ball appropriately. We don't know that. And
your physiology and kinesiology background, look at it from that way, and you're exactly right. Anybody that, whenever somebody works on their back end, their back end gets a lot better. Have you ever noticed it changes all the rhythm on your forehand sometimes? You're exactly right with how that works. And, again, if they would have just said this is a great teaching tool, they could have had everybody on board. Here's what I told them too, Mike. What do you think about this? I said, instead of red, orange, and green, why don't you guys at least be smart enough to use red, white, and blue? You know, you should have used red, white, and blue. Don't use the red, orange, and green for, you know, I don't care if we're like France or Spain or these countries. You know, this is America. And
aren't they eliminating the red? Aren't they going to drop the red ball pretty much?
I don't know. I don't know. The politics of this. I'm hoping you're
not working,
Mike. Coach Blumenthal comes on. Mike, the bureaucracy and the ITA, are you keeping up with what's going on in college tennis and the ITA and the way that the bureaucracy is off? Their coercive leadership program and their mandating of things. And being it's criminal the way they have gone against the twice now we have had the NCAA come out in support of what the coaches wanted. That is to stay with traditional scoring. And the ITA has wiggled their way back, and they said, nope, wait a minute, that doesn't really mean that. We want our way, and they pushed up forward. Mike, have you been keeping up with this?
What are some of your thoughts?
Yes, and I've talked to a number of coaches, and there's just so many negatives to what they're doing, and the only reasoning that I've heard, as far as the amount of time is concerned, is that it's a money thing, and that with football football getting ready to pay their athletes, and they may be dropping more and more non-revenue sports if they don't become TV friendly. But I kind of think that's a cop out.
Mike, it is a cop out. I think there's an overall plan to this, and it stems from USTA headquarters somewhere. There is a overall plan, or they would not continue to push forward this format against so much opposition. They're going to have a civil war, an ongoing civil war, and they're just taking the life right out of the programs. We've had so many. The upsets are unbelievable. The other day we had number 27 in the country beat number one. 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, we had number 51 in the country beat number one. And we had Stanford beat Southern Cal. Some people would argue that's a big upset, and I know Paul Goldstein feels great about that good win out there. That's best win Stanford's had there in a couple of years, that great program. But the point being, Mike, is that it's all part of the whole ball. Do you believe it's all part of the same ball of wax?
I don't know. I mean, I really just couldn't say anything for sure, but it does seem that the USTA has become kind of a tennis amoeba, and they're just kind of
big brother.
I don't know if you remember one of the original kind of science fiction movies called The Blob. The Blob came down from space and it just started to started absorbing everything around it, and so I kind of feel like the USTA has been moving in that direction.
Yeah, it really, really has. Got another
money
caller
speaks,
here. Hang
Chuck,
on, caller.
Money speaks.
Yeah,
I don't want to take away from if Randy's
no,
on.
No. Randy's not
time.
On yet. We're waiting for Coach Blumenthal. He's running a pretty significant program or helping organize. We have to get him to tell you about his new position. But he's doing great, great, noble coach. I wanted him to come on today and talk about his ideas for college tennis, and they're brilliant. And we're going to keep pushing these forward. We're going to push them forward to NCAA tournament. We're going to push them forward everywhere we can. The war of ideas continues, but it's hard. Here's another thought about the USTA. You ask about the committee stuff. There is a old saying that number one people will hire number one people. You want strong people around you. But number two people hire number three people. In other words, weakness attracts weakness. And weakness attracts even more weakness. And you don't hire the right people. Now, I wanted to say, and I want to go on record saying, I think Martin Blackman was a great hire. I really do. I've seen him over the years from his time as a player, where he was training and a player, and to the time when he was coach. I respected him a lot. He went up to American University and developed a nice program up there. Then he ran the Junior Champions Center. He's been down to Florida. He's worked for the USTA. And I don't think anybody dislikes Martin Blackman. I think he's never met a stranger. He's a kind and courteous man. He is a noble man. I know and I believe from the bottom of my heart that he's honest. And I do believe that he will hire strength under him. In other words, he'll act like a number one person and not only cater to those people who are politically correct around him, Mike. I think that he will go after and secure people, even if they do not have the same ideas or thought pattern or ideologies that he does. I just think that was a good hire. There's other people that come to mind. I mean, Jim Courier, everybody loves Jim Courier. We need that heart and that fight out there. But Martin, as far as administrator and being the head guy, I think was a good choice. Any more comment there? And I'm going to get this other caller in here and see if we can get a three-way talk going. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I was just going to say, though, keep in mind that, I heard James Blake's name thrown in the pot as well. And, he and Courier, of course, were great players. But the one thing that Martin has that they don't have is that he's actually developed players. And this is supposed to be a position that is the
head of player development. So, you know, you need somebody in there that has that, you know, background. I was hoping that Tim Mayotte might get a look as well. I thought he would have been a really good hire, but I think you're right about Martin. I just hope the USTA powers that be will let him do what we've been talking about and bring in people that will, you know, be right. willing to stand up and say, you know, no, we need to do this, and this is why we need to do it.
And please do not put governors on his engine.
Yeah, I've got a roll, Chuck.
Okay, don't put restraint. Mike Kernodle, quite a pleasure to have you on here. And love the conversation, and God bless you, man. Keep up the good work. See ya.
Thanks, Chuck. Enjoy Charleston.
Okay. Got another caller here, area code 678-467. Caller.
Hello.
I think it's Coach Weber. Is this Coach Weber?
Hello. Yeah.
Yeah, Coach. Hey, how are you doing? We're lucky to have Mike Kernodle on there. You know.
He won't come on my show. I've asked him to come on my show. He won't come on mine. Why won't he come on mine? He comes on yours.
No, come on, man. I just got lucky today with the guy.
Oh, my God. He's on your show every other week.
No.
He's one of the best people. Now, see, they've marginalized. You know, I got a chance to listen to some of you guys, you know, and to think that somehow that – you know, I heard you guys, and you're a very nice man, Coach Creasy. Dr. Kernodle. You both are very nice, and you guys always want to see the best of me. And you're hoping somehow out of the USTA organization that they're going to be nice back. And I think that maybe there's nice people in them, but when it comes together in a group such as it is, and it's the organization that it is, it's difficult for them to do anything. One of you said, I think, something along the lines of, you know, they'll do the best thing for tennis. You know, if we look at the track record, come on, they haven't done that yet. In fact, they only do the best thing for the USTA. There's very little that they've done. You know, this I can go, you know, initiative after initiative, thing after thing after thing that they do, and it's hurt tennis in the end. And yet they'll keep going right on with it and keep doing it. And, you know, you can start with the when they got rid of the 12s rankings and all that, and then they had to bring them back finally. And then, you know, the things where they say they don't care, you know.
Wasn't that interesting in the 80s we had the best system in the world, but because they were popping up, these places were popping up.
You know, the best system in the world. Look, we have, Coach Creasy, we have. Okay, did you watch the Masters? Did you see the Masters? Did you get to see Spieth?
Oh, I sure did. It was great.
He's got a new swing pattern. He's got a new swing pattern. The way that these new guys are hitting is more like a hockey slap shot, right? You know, that didn't come out of the USGA. That didn't come out of this. It came out of the Ledbetter School. You know, it came out of an individual, a private enterprise guy. But the swing pattern has changed probably because of the equipment, just like in tennis, it's changed. But the little changes that happen, the little I can't think of the word I'm looking for.
Innovation happens with skill, coach. Innovation happens from freedom. It happens with freedom. Innovation does not happen with systems and cookie cutter programs. And look, you've heard about the if your open hand policy, your open hands policy unclenches the fist of your rival sometimes. You know, one finger at a time, starting with the middle finger. Have you not heard that? They've used that recently on the political scope of on TV and some of the networks and things. But you know, the bottom line on the thing is that innovation happens with freedom. And I want to know, if somebody's having success, I want to go study what a Robert Lansdorf was doing and what a Vic Braden was doing.
You know, if somebody
young
comes
coach
up,
coming up.
If somebody comes up now, if somebody was spawned out of the USTA's system, would it inspire you? Would it get you excited?
No, No, because it was a community organized project. It was sort of like a system. What inspires you is when you see innovation and somebody comes up with a new and something that is, wow, I hadn't seen that before, and I want to learn that. You know, many years ago, I gave a talk on momentum. I started in 1979 working on momentum control. And this was about 1983. I was giving a talk down in Atlanta, and I'm a young coach, and who walks into my talk? I have seven people there total. And Dennis Vandermeer came into my talk, and I was floored, and I was shaking almost, because here's the greatest coach and teacher in the world ever comes into my talk. And so I'm going, wow, and I make my presentation, and I see he sat in there an hour and listened to me. And I said, Coach, I said, well, why did you come to my talk? He said, well, I had not heard of this before. He said, I was curious. I was interested. And I go, whoa. And I, you know, and later I got to say something nice about him. I said, he not only was the greatest coach in the world, he's the greatest student in the world. Not just teacher, but yeah. Student of the game. So as a student, you want to be inspired by innovation. Mike Cronodal always talks about the Fosbury flop. Coach Weber, I brag on your show, but my golly, I love to talk to you. I love to be around you. You're an innovator. You are the thing. I've never seen somebody that has a library of tennis like you do, and how much you must love tennis. I love coaching more than I love tennis, I think, Coach. I'm just telling you. And folks out there, don't turn me off now. Don't turn off just because I said that. But I love the teaching and the coaching part. But my golly, there's some people like you that just love the sport of tennis, and we're screwing it up. You know?
Well,
what do we need to do,
Coach? What
their
formula is, they want, okay, here in Atlanta, there's some programs that have momentum. You spoke about momentum, and I'm not knocking anybody's program. And everybody can do it the way they want to do it. But they look to produce players, or they get a reputation. It's kind of like going to a restaurant. You look outside the restaurant. There's a lot of cars. It must be a good restaurant. There's a lot of kids there. It must be, you know, Wayne Bryan has that argument. Go to the place that has the most kids. Well, that might not be. It could be the best place to go. But in my mind, there's a little bit, you know, there that says there's other ways of doing it, too. That's how other places come about. So the USCA, they want to create these numbers, this massive numbers and numbers of kids. And the harder they try to produce these massive numbers of kids, the lower the numbers go have people. They need to have a guy like you, a guy like me, they have all these people, and somehow, but you know, that won't work. It's almost like what's the word when you say a word and it actually is the exact opposite, oxymoron. You know, for the USTA to be able to do that and to let that come about, they'd have to relinquish power to you know, the power of succeeding to the lower. Look at the successful. Look at the successful side of the USTA, Coach Creasy. The successful side, or the side that is perceived and the one that gets all the write-ups and everything, is player development. Now, they're not even supposed to be about player development. Their biggest thing is what? Growing the game. But that's not the sexiest part of it. So the sexiest part is player development. But the harder they try to do this, the lower the numbers have gone. At least I believe that.
Okay.
Coach
Blumenthal, please call in if you can. I know you're busy. I'm hoping he calls in. But he, folks, there's a great book out there, and it's called Start With Why, and Simon Sinek, S-I-N-E-K, I think it is. It's one of the best reads I've had in a long, long time. And go read it. If you're a teacher, go read this book. You start with why, but the premise, JP, and this answers a lot of the reason why bureaucracies, I'm not just saying the USTA, but the ITA, they will fail because they don't start with why. They start with what we're trying to do and how we're going to do it. They start with what and how. But the why is the reason. Why, when you figure out why you do something, you are stimulated to higher levels of concentration, desire, passion, all of those things that sustain you. You are not inspired by systems or programs. And I don't care if they, you say, wow, this guy was number one 3-4 times. That's nice for a minute. But when you find out that somebody was an innovator and somebody, you go deeper and you found out that the reasons why were so much deeper, then that's what makes it great. Did you really care about Djokovic when he first came on the scene? And he did, you know, he was sort of a little bit reactive, cocky and all that. What got you caring about him more is when you found out more about his background and that he had the struggles. And then you find out more about why people, certain teachers, do things certain ways. And when you find out more about these coaches that have stayed in there for years and years and years, and this book explains all of that, but coach, the systems will not motivate, they will not stimulate, they will not carry the passion for longer than a short period. They will not sustain. And we, that's
not in our country.
Short.
Not in our country.
Well,
yeah, because we don't like coercion. We don't like coercive ways.
We want to be inspired.
Of being told to do things. Well, we want to be able to do it. We want to be able to do it. We want to, you know, when you have other countries, there are some people, look, there are countries, and, you know, I'll probably get criticized for this, but there are countries and people, and they're filled with, you know, inhabitants, people who won't throw the shackles off. You know, to a certain degree, you know.
Why is that?
The people that live in Iraq and the people that live there, other countries.
Coach, you're exactly right. Go a little deeper. Why? Why are people.
It's easier to be a servant.
Well, sure it is. You know, the servitude, but it's safe, the safety of servitude. Now, why do people, I always start our program, American Tennis, by saying stand up and speak out. And people, why are people afraid? I mean, come on, this is tennis, this is not life and death, but why are people afraid of not being liked sometimes? You know, because servitude is easier. Correct.
Because in tennis, in our own little case here, if you are not part of the big group, you're not going to get the help, support. You're not going to get the things that you need. You've got this college thing. Look at the way in which some of these college coaches have gone about this. It's all been about trying to be popular. Hey, I'm going to go with the group that's popular, and then it swung. You know, it's we had a guy with a. Look, yeah, one of the foremost coaches in the United States came out when Noed first came back out. He signed a petition, led a drive of a petition, and then he got a talking to. And then a year later, he's for it.
No, and they flip-flop is what you're saying, Coach. Coach, what you're saying is
they
want to
be
flip-flop.
Part of the group. They want to be part
they
of the group.
They flip-flop. There's safety in the group, and we do not need leaders that are just trying to be part of the group. We need the people that will stand up and speak out. And I pray to God, and I'm hoping, and I really believe Martin Blackman will be a man that seeks out excellence, you know, whether or not it's popular all the time.
You are very nice, and you're a very good man. You're very, and you think the best. And I hope your optimism, you know, it's what's made you what you are. You're an optimistic guy. I'm not as optimistic as you are on that. I don't think that it'll change much of anything. I think that what's even worse is it's going to get lost in a lot of other stuff. There's a
I
whole
hope not.
Push
I don't,
for a whole
you know, Mark,
other.
Look, he's a good man, noble man, honest man. And we'll see. I just, if he's been through enough battles, to where he has been able to discern, D-I-C-E-R-N, discern is the most important quality of a leader. Your ability to see below the surface and see what is the real truth on things. I'm hoping that he can discern the baloney from the real deal, you know, the diamonds from the rhinestones. I'm hoping that he will hire strength. The key to power is empowering people who are under you. You know, it's the key to power is empowering. The key to power is giving up power. You know, that's our greatest people ever do that. They empower those people under them, and then everyone rises. But boy, that takes a lot of maturity to do that. It takes a lot. So, Coach, we didn't have Coach Blumendahl on here, so I'm going to give you the last word. I've got a few minutes. I want to go over our 10-point reason why NOAD is a no-go here before we're over today. Thank you for your show every week. Thank you for your We Coach Tennis website. And, gosh, thanks for coming on the program once again.
Come on and write on that show. Write on the website some more. Try to get on there every once in a while and write.
Coach, that Facebook thing just grinds a person down. I mean, does anybody else out there feel like, am I just old or something? That Facebook thing
you gotta use it to your advantage. It's be one of the best things. It could probably propel you even further ahead.
Well,
stuff.
You know, I
you got you I, need I, more I'm, more people need more people need to glean some of the knowledge that you have, and you know, look, we need you to you're not afraid to speak up even if what you say. Even if it's half-baked, if it's not right, if it's this, if it's that, even if it's all wrong, I like the fact that you're heard and it's a difference of opinion and you're able to speak out. I like all of those, you know, attributes that this stuff gives you. The more that you're heard, the more that you can speak out, the better.
Well, Coach, I'm just going to have to finding time between my family and trying to get people's forehands and backhands better on our team and trying to do camps and all those things and the radio program. But you're kind to say so, and I appreciate Coach J.P. Weber more than ever. Thanks, Coach Weber, for being on there today. Folks, I'm gonna talk real quickly. Again, tune in to the We Coach Tennis program on Tuesdays at I believe he's at noon, but go to that website, We Coach Tennis website, and Facebook. And man, I've read some things on that are just great. I want to meet Coach Lester one day. I want to meet. There's some older guys on there, and some others. I don't want you young folks, young whippersnapper coaches out there to think that I'm not showing great respect as well. But, boy, some of the pearls of wisdom that come out on the We Coach Tennis website are beautiful to behold. And I guess it does have a good thing to it. But I wanted, again, listen, go to my – I'm going to have this all up on my website, Coach Chuck, www.chuckcreasy.net. And the reasons NOAD is a no-go. It's not a rule of tennis, number one. Number two, it devalues the elements of conditioning and endurance for the outcome of competition. Folks, it's always been about physical and mental stamina. Do people not like the word stamina anymore? Come on. We should always look to stamina as one of our pillars. Number three, NOAD promotes skewed results. The proof is in the pudding. Tulsa, 51 in the country, beat Southern Cal this year. Texas Tech, 27 in the country, just beat Oklahoma, the best win in their history. Princeton beats Mississippi State, and on and on and on, and there will be more and more skewed results. And people say, well, what's wrong with skewed results? Isn't parity good? No, it's not. If it's a scoring system, it does. It should be your forehands, your backhands, your fitness, your conditioning, your toughness. Those kids do not go forward by winning a tiebreaker or with NOAD scoring. They go forward when they win a 7-5 in the third or a 6-4 in the third or a tough, tough match that they have to grind out. Then they go forward and they know that they know that they know that they're the better player. You know, NOAD scoring skews results and gives fake prop-ups for really how good you are. It does not give a barometer where you really are. Number four, NOAD accelerates parity between the pecking orders without mastery of skill production. Just said that one. Number five, the deciding point of no ad is really worth two games. Did y'all know that? Two games. Now think about this. Everybody always reckons, hey, there's really something funny at 4-2. That points, you're either 5-2 up or 4-3 up. That's two games. Wow. Two games. No, it's the first point of the game. It's the first game of the match, too, folks. If you win on a net cord or someone cheats or someone gets lucky or the wind blows the ball in, this is a game of double jeopardy. It's the point. You should have had the point I have now. But if you win the first game, it's going to take me two games to get up 2-1 to have a one-game lead. It's worth two games. And are we propping up cheating? There's a great article about Jordan Spieth and how golf is just so classy and how great the game of golf is. You don't need referees. All we do is get more and more and more referees because of the cheating. And let me tell you, no ad really promotes this. So the deciding point of no ad is really worth two games. No ad eliminates war zone endurance. War zone endurance. Does everybody hear that? War zone endurance. You know what a war zone is. It's your 15-point game. Third point in the third game of the match, you win a 15-point game, and then you quickly win 2-0. Or you lose it, and you have to play another 15-point game, and you have to play another one. And then you become a top player because you're able to endure the war zones. No ad's always between 4 to 7 points, folks. It's always between 4 to 7 points. It eliminates the multiple situations, the game that require the discipline and skill sets to evolve. You know, your ability to break serve is one of the greatest puzzles of all to teach. And in no ad scoring, you don't have to learn how to solve that puzzle. Any of you that had add in or add your ad, the other person's ad, add in, add out, understand how your heart goes up and down and how your hands shake and how your rear end starts to quiver. And I know you still have to deliver. But anyhow, folks, it just really eliminates the war zone. Number seven, no ad promotes random momentum swing and negates the small differences in a player's skill base that took years to develop and that becomes a big advantage in match progresses, but it becomes a no-go, and it's negated by that. Number eight, it's its highest claims, and this is what the ITA, shameful on you guys to say that it promotes excitement. It's like a little kid going to the amusement park. I'm going to be excited to ride a Ferris wheel. Second time, I'm not quite as excited. Third time, hey, can I go over here and ride the merry-go-round? You know, excitement dwindles with each occurrence. Drama is what we should be after. It intensifies with each denial. Why did you watch the Masters last weekend? You watched it because of the drama of whether the kid could hold it together or not. It's unbelievable. He's up 7 strokes, and we were quivering every time he got lost the lead down. Shameful that the ITA is promoting no ad on excitement merit. Just like little children. The overwhelming majority of the players do not want this. That should be enough. Lastly, to abbreviate, change of scoring is political. We should be honoring the game. Who are you, ITA? Who is the USTA to think that you can just change the game to fit your needs? You know what? Tennis, powerful than anybody or any organization. And tennis will have the last laugh. And they will have the last laugh on this. Tennis will. And, guys, I'm telling you, none of us are bigger than the game of tennis. Shameful, shameful to think that you can change it to suit your own needs. Folks, be here next week. This coach is up.
Made in America, born in a heartland, raised up a family, a King James and Uncle Sam. He got the red, white, blue, flying high on a farm. Semper Fi tattooed on his Simpsons. Spent a little more in the store for a tag in the back of his USA. Won't buy nothing that he can't fix. With WD-40 and a Craftsman wrench, he ain't president. He's just made in America.
And this is Coach Chuck Creasy reminding you that you're in the process of winning or losing every day of your life, and it has very little to do with a win or a loss. And God bless each and every one of you out there trying to help kids get better and just help that person in front of you. It'll go a long way. God bless you. See you next week.
Opinions stated by various contributors to the UR Tennis Network and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR Tennis Network. Participants are encouraged to use their own discernments and draw their own conclusions. All information, products, and services offered by the UR Tennis Network are for personal use only. The UR Tennis Network does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of information contained within the network. Any products or services provided for should be used solely for entertainment purposes. We emphasize the idea of keeping an open mind and not construing the products, services, or data as factual.